Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
It's time for Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Let me ask you about, I got to start with something sad. Clay Matthews doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. How close do you think he got? I mean, how tough does it become for him now that he's going to go on the list of the seniors?
Well, I know he got very close. He did get very close. I don't know by how many votes close, but he did make it down into the final 10. I know that much. And he just did not make it down into the final five. So he was not one of the first five that were eliminated in the room that day. And there was a lot of support for him in that room. I know that there were a lot of people and influential people in that room that voted for him in their final five, including Peter King. And he's really one of the most influential people, I would say, in that room. So when he has your support, you know, that goes a long way. So I think it bodes well for the future that he had that kind of support in the room and that he made it down that far. I think it means that at some point he will make it in the senior process. I just hope it's not too far down the road.
Mary Kay, now that's always going to lead me to think something nefarious there, because there had to be somebody who's like, oh, yeah, I'll vote for Clay Matthews, sure. And then they just decided not to vote for Clay Matthews. And they might have led you guys down a wrong path. Either way, I felt bad. I felt bad for his daughter. I didn't feel as bad for him, because I think he's kind of like, oh, yeah, you guys go ahead and do it. And he seems to be pretty content with his career. But, you know, I think Browns fans, it's a great celebration of Clay Matthews. And I think that for his daughter, it'd be a great job done by her. I hope that he's able to get in with the senior committee, but you know, we'll have to see. I know that's going to be a really, really, really tough thing to do now that they're only allowing one in, even though hopefully the constraints are going to be loosened up here in a bit. Can you share some memories of Marty Schottenheimer? Because I asked John Telich about him. I asked a couple other people about him. And I think that he's one of the final guys who could be emotional and also a good coach, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been talking to some people about him over the past couple of days, including, you know, like a Kevin Mack and Al Saunders, who coached with him, and I'll be writing. But I did not closely cover Marty Schottenheimer. When Marty was coaching the Browns, I was mostly at that time, I was covering the Cleveland Force for most of that. And I would occasionally bop in and do a Brown sidebar off the game and things like that. But I didn't really get heavily involved in covering the Browns until a little bit later. I was there a lot during the Bud Carson seasons. And then I was the full-time beat writer starting with the first year of Bill Belichick. So I don't have a lot of personal reflection on Marty, but I really enjoyed talking to people about him. And one of the most interesting conversations I had was with Al Saunders, the former Browns receivers coach, who worked with Marty for 10 years as his assistant head coach and offensive assistant or receivers coach in Kansas City all those years. One of Marty's best friends. And he had such wonderful things to say about him as a person and how he never has been around anybody who is able to command a room like Marty was. And that's saying a lot from somebody who worked with Don Coryell and somebody who worked with Dick Vermeil. He just had the most amazing things to say about Marty.
Mary Kay, you know, looking at, the Super Bowl and how things turned out, were you kind of surprised that, the Kansas City Chiefs and what happened in that game looked really, really, really normal? Patrick Mahomes struggled, and it just looked like they were out of sorts. Did you see that actually coming?
Well, first of all, I would have to think that the events of Britt Reid and what happened with that accident had to take an emotional toll on that football team. You know that it took an emotional toll on Andy Reid. Anybody who has been around Andy Reid for even 5 minutes would know that that would be a crushing thing for him to have to know what his son had gone through and what that little girl and what those little girls, especially the 1 5-year-old, and what that family was going through. There's no way that Andy Reid was himself on the sideline. So it starts there, and if your coach is out of sorts and other people on your team are out of sorts, it's going to filter down throughout the team. I think that had an enormous impact on the team. The other major thing, I think, is the fact that when you don't have your 2 starting offensive tackles, it's going to be a long afternoon. And I think it just goes to show that the Browns were so smart to build the offensive line the way that they did. And if could you imagine going into that game without Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills? Well, that's basically what the Chiefs had to do. And not only were they down to, in some cases, their second guy, they were down to their 3rd-string guy. So that's not a good way to go into a game. And then there are just times when a team has an emotional edge and they go in and they're going to take that game the way that the Browns did with the Steelers in the wild card game. And there's nothing that you're going to do to stop them. And that was the mission that the Tampa Bay Bucs were on. And they were home. They had that emotional edge. They had everybody's cast us aside. Everybody's against us. And those things matter in a game.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So for the Browns, some decisions to make. I want to name some names for you here and tell me where you think they might go on some of these guys, all right? I know it's early, but away we go with it. Larry Ogunjobi, we keeping him? What do you think we might let him go?
Well, I've written about this, and I've talked about it on our podcast. I think he's in a Joe Schobert situation this year where he will be able to get more money from another team. He knows it. They know it. So, therefore, I would say he will most likely walk.
Olivier Vernon.
He's in that situation, again, coming off of the ruptured Achilles. He's getting up there in age, and I think it would be really hard to pay him the kind of money that they probably would have paid him if not for this injury. I think he really salvaged his career in the second half of the season, his Browns career at least. I think that they probably would have re-signed him, but now I think it's going to be tough.
Rashard Higgins.
Yes, I would say yes. They recognize his value, and I will give him a thumbs up.
Odell Beckham Jr.
That's a tough one. I've been writing about this one, too. I've been writing about the fact that they will at least have to consider trading him. Not because they don't like him as a player, because they do. Not because they don't like him as a person, because they do. And I think he would have been, I think he would have flourished with Baker Mayfield in this system. But he's got a $15.25 million payout this year. That's a lot of money. They have to decide. So I'm not going to give you a yes or no on this one. I'm going to give you a 50-50 at this point.
Wyatt Teller.
Oh, they definitely love Wyatt Teller, and they'll do whatever they can to re-sign him.
Overpay?
Now, he also he's under contract for next season, so they don't have a sense of urgency for him. It's not like he's about to become a free agent, but he is in that window where you would like to get him extended. And he's not in a situation where you have to overpay him or he's walking out the door this year. Once again, he's under contract for next year. They just have to try to come up with something they all feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I think you'd like to lock him up and make sure, because you don't know about tag situations and everything going into next year as well. Basically the same question for Nick Chubb.
Well, Nick, this is another one I've written extensively about. They have a lot of options with Nick, and it doesn't seem to me to be a front office that is going to want to give a lot of huge long-term money to a running back. They have some options. They can do creative contracts like they did with Kareem Hunt, where it's incentive-based. So that's one of the things that you can do. You can also let him play out this year and then franchise him after this year. And so you're getting him for roughly $6.5 million a year for 2 years, with the franchise tag being somewhere around $11 million for running backs after this year. So that's another way to go. So they have some options. They obviously love Nick and want to keep him. I just don't see a Christian McCaffrey type of contract for him here in the future.
I like the contract question so much, Mary Kay. I'll just go ahead and just continue those on and ask the big one. Baker Mayfield, when you know the market is kind of set, we see Deshaun Watson and his money, and then we see the Patrick Mahomes money. Now, you know, Baker, you can argue his skill set may be less than Patrick Mahomes, and it may be less than Deshaun Watson in some people's mind. Does his money, however, get slotted above maybe Deshaun Watson and somewhere a little bit below Patrick Mahomes?
Well, that is another big decision that they have to make this offseason. And if you, one of the things they will definitely do is look at the last four guys that went ahead and received their big blockbuster extensions after their third seasons when they were first eligible. Only one of those guys right now is in a happy marriage with his football team, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Everyone else has either been traded, will be traded, or wants to be traded. So, you know, it's a cautionary tale for the Browns heading into this offseason. What they will do is pick up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option by the deadline on May 3rd. That buys them time. After that, they can decide. They can see where the salary cap is at that point. They can decide at that point, do they want to go ahead and sign him to the long-term extension this year, or do they want to wait and possibly do it after the fourth year?
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Before the season started, I wrote that signing Austin Hooper was an off-season win. When I do my off-season wins and losses that really have no matter whatsoever, but still, was signing Austin Hooper an off-season win for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I would say that it was a win. You needed a guy like that, especially if you were going to run the two tight end system that you wanted to run. So it was definitely a win. What I think they need to do, though, however, is to get more production out of him going forward. For that amount of money, $10.5 million for a tight end, you really want to have way more production than you were able to get out of him. And I think they will. I think it took them a long time to sort of get this offense implemented, to get Baker Mayfield comfortable in it, and to figure out everyone's role. I think he'll have a bigger one next year.
The finest, Mary Kay Cabot, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, we thank you very much. We'll talk at you soon.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
The great Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we come back, we put the finishing touches on it with Garrett. And then we welcome in Will Brinson coming up at 9:20. And an interesting question of what he just asked with Baker Mayfield to Mary Kay. It's Ken Carmen with Garrett Bush in for Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.